Welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group, bringing you interviews with Colorado's best real estate and mortgage professionals, empowering you to understand the current trends in the housing market so you can make the American dream your reality. Enjoy today's episode.
Well, it's a great day in Colorado, and welcome to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast. Today, we have with us Nick Jimerson, who's a mortgage broker with Edge Home Finance. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mark, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Yep. Looking forward to talking with you, just getting your views on the industry and the economy, but get us started with a little bit of your story and your background. What got you into the mortgage industry?
Yeah, I ultimately kind of fell into it back in 2010. I started off just at Wells Fargo, and they were doing batch hiring, and I was fortunate enough to get one of the spots as a loan processor. So I started off kind of on the back behind the scenes part of the business, and just really got my feet underneath me just by learning just the processing and underwriting guidelines, and did that for a couple of years.
That is a really good point to bring up, because sometimes if you don't know what's happening in the background, then you're not able to fully serve your clients on the front end with, maybe preparing them. You know, you'll be able to see things in a loan application that you know could be processing or underwriting concerns. So you can, on the front end, get documentation to overcome that even before it becomes an issue.
That's exactly right. Yeah, just knowing exactly what underwriting is going to ask for, and just being able to kind of see a little bit further than, your typical loan officer is just going to, be able to see of what's going to be required and all that paperwork and documentation, and just asking for that right up front. One of the most frustrating things for a client is being asked time and time again for documentation and information that seems like they've already sent similar items, and just knowing what exactly is needed right up front just delivers a better customer client experience.
It's nice that you can be a guide and walk them through the process that way. You know, many people, they get nervous when they're buying a home, especially if it's their first time, or maybe they haven't done it in some time.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. And, there's almost too much information to throw at somebody at one time. And yeah, just being kind of that resource and that guide, just navigating them through that process, I think helps alleviate a lot of those concerns. And
awesome. And you said 2010, so things were a little different in the market when you first got started. Things changed and got better, and lately some changes have happened. But let's talk about niche products. Do you have niche programs that you're working with now, and where do you see them?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of different niche programs. There's some good down payment assistance programs here in Colorado, so I'm just really familiar with those. But also expanding on that, kind of getting outside of, the cookie cutter type loan programs, working with some investors. DSCR is a really good program, and making sure that I have good relationships with my non-QM wholesale investors and understanding their guidelines, their requirements. Those are a couple of different niche programs that I've been working with, and have found, that they're wonderful for the non-traditional investor, anybody that's trying to expand their real estate portfolio. Those have great options for them, where if you're self-employed, you can leverage bank statement programs. You can also use the DSCR, which is the debt service coverage ratio, and qualify that way. It's more of an equity-based type of lending. So yeah, those are a couple of different good niche programs that I like to kind of just really focus on.
I think a misconception that some investors have is, I'm self-employed. I own this business over here and I like to buy some real estate. But, my CPA, I tell them to reduce my income as much as possible. So I know I can't go qualify for a loan because I show so little income. But you're saying you've got some special programs, and talk a little bit about, the debt service program that you mentioned, because if I'm thinking correctly, that's going to help kind of blend, the lower income on the tax returns, but you're going to say, but look, we've got cash flow in this, or let's use some of the rents that you're going to be getting. So how would that work?
Yeah. So for bank statement loan programs, they do a different calculation. They're not going to take a look at your tax returns. They're actually going to do their own calculation based on cash flow into, your business accounts. Hmm. And so they'll kind of, traditionally, they'll be able to create a little bit more income than what you're going to report on your tax returns. Because ideally, your CPA is going to say, you should minimize your tax, taxability or tax liability, and These are things that you can write off within your business, and it's good to kind of, you know, keep that on the lower end, but that hinders your opportunity to purchase and buy a home. So using that bank statement program can help bolster that income when you're a self-employed individual, and just, you know, working through the calculations and understanding those guidelines and making sure you're navigating your clients through that. The debt service coverage ratio, that uses estimated rental income. So they will actually request an appraisal report that will give us back an estimated rental income. And as long as that coverage ratio, those guidelines are changing, but, you know, as long as it typically covers the estimated mortgage payment, they're going to do an analysis on that end and, you know, see if we can get approved that way as well. Those DSCR programs do require a larger down payment. So typically you're going to find your more sophisticated investors that's going to be a better fit. But for somebody who's self-employed, your bank statement loan programs are also a wonderful program.
Yeah, I think that just, like you said, gives some flexibility in a niche of yes, investor, but an investor who can only prove income with bank statements or who wants to also use the rent. I think that's huge. So are you finding within the market now, as far as home buyers, are you working with first-time home buyers a little bit more than that used to be? Or what does that look like in the market today?
Yeah. I've actually seen a little bit of an uptick in first-time home buyers. And I think, you know, they're probably going to be a majority of the market going into 2023 again this coming year. You've got a lot of folks that have been sitting on the sidelines as interest rates have been a little bit higher, as we saw last year. Inflation kind of got a little bit out of control. So there's just been a little bit of a hesitancy. And you know, first-time home buyers, it's a lot of folks want to get into a home and they're just, you know, don't really feel like they're quite ready, but.
It's good to hear that those first time homebuyers are now starting to get a shot. You know, I mean, they didn't have that for a couple of years.
They didn't. And yeah, and that's a really good point too. You know, when you're in a multiple offer situation, those are typically the first type of loans that end up getting pushed to the wayside because they may not have that additional equity or assets available to go ahead and cover an appraisal gap coverage or things like that. And right now is a perfect market for first-time home buyers. You know, even early into our year now, buyers still have a little bit of leverage. I don't foresee that lasting, you know, too long. So, you know, that's an area of focus, and that's definitely, we've seen an uptick in that.
And some of the benefits for first-time home buyers when the market kind of settles down to normal, you know, back in the day when it was so hot, you'd have to bid more than the house is worth and appraise for. But now you get the seller's attention. And what are some of the things that the buyers are benefiting from, like concessions or closing costs, things like that?
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of buyers get concessions to either offset closing costs. They're either perhaps getting under list price and walking into a little bit of equity. Definitely seen some of that. They're also leveraging some of the seller credit to do a temporary interest rate buy down, which I think it's perfect and it's genius. You're able to get a lower payment for, you know, the first couple of years if you do a 2-1 buy down, and or you can do a 1-1 buy down. Different options depending on, you know, what you're negotiating with the seller and how much the seller is willing to relinquish or give up, and, you know, a little bit of a concession. But as a first time home buyer, it just helps them get into that home, be a little bit more comfortable with monthly payments. If interest rates do come down, you know, in the future, they can always refinance that into a lower payment. And they don't, the buyers don't lose any of that money that's in that 2-1 buy down. It sits in a separate escrow account, and, you know, they can leverage that later.
So I think that's a key point to keep in mind, is it's not just one way to get things done. You know, it's like, hey, why don't you pay the closing cost? That's a one way to use seller concessions. Hey, why don't we use that amount of money to help me lower my interest rate, which lowers my payment? That's another huge opportunity. And then they need, we use the word guide earlier. The buyers need to rely on you as the guide, because if we did do that buy down, that is a temporary buy down. So it's only that low for a whatever set period of time. Then what? And, you know, hopefully you're meeting with them annually and going, let's make sure everything is the right for you. And if the time is right and the rates are right, let's, you know, redo that and lock in some longer period. So I think that kind of a mindset is you're the one watching for the best decisions to offer to your clients, and they then can rely on you to give them that great advice.
Yeah, that's, I think that's spot on. You know, you want to, as a mortgage lender, you want to be that expert. And, you know, I don't think you're doing your clients justice if you're not thinking about it long-term and short-term and running through those numbers and scenarios with them. It's super important to make sure that you meet their goals short-term and long-term. And, you know, sometimes a permanent buy-down might be a better fit just depending on the situation. And so it's really having that conversation, understanding their goals and being that expert for them and saying, hey, you know, this is maybe what my suggestion would be. And letting them make that decision at the end of the day.
You know, in the mortgage industry, you've got so much competition, same as with the realtors. So what do you do to separate yourself from other lenders? Why should someone pick you? Because, yeah, you need to guide them and give them great advice. But what are some other things that that you provide your clients that help to separate yourself from the competition?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think first and foremost, you got to be authentic. You got to be true to yourself. And, you know, pursue things that you're passionate about and share that with your clients. I mean, I think that's, you know, something if they know a little bit more about you and something that you're involved with, whether that's being part of the community and volunteering for different organizations and having a bigger outreach, I think that's an area of focus that I've really paid attention to over the last year and kind of developed. That's certainly one of the ways that I give back is I do volunteer for a nonprofit organization. It's the Home Builder Foundation. And I'm also on the board of director for NotRep, which is the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate and Professionals here in the Denver chapter. And just getting involved in different organizations and having different just ways to reach out to the community and support the community has been a big focus. So that's certainly something that differentiates myself. And I think it's really important for folks, whatever that, you know, that passion may be, if it's a sport or, you know, family or, you know, this local community on different levels, just getting involved and really just showing that you're not just a mortgage lender or mortgage professional, that there's more to it, that you're giving back to the community in different ways.
You know, it reminds me of like when you, I've got kids that are, you know, finishing up college and you look at the resume and how to get a good job. And a lot of companies these days, they look for having those extracurricular rounding out, you know, yeah, we know you've got a degree in whatever. Same as, yes, we know that Nick can help us with a mortgage loan, but what else? And when they get to know, you know, you for you, and like you said, that word authentic, that's really powerful when they can really resonate with how you are wired, boy, that really creates a long-term connection because in reality, you're building relationships, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And at that time, you know, at that point, I don't think it really feels like work. It you know, it's something I'm really passionate about in helping, you know, families and folks and individuals. And yeah, just being authentic and being true to yourself. I think that's one of the most important things.
So we've used the word lender and we've used the word broker in this conversation. What's the difference between the two and what is some of the advantages that you bring to your clients being a broker?
Yeah. You know, lender is typically referred to more of like the retail space where you're operating under, you know, one company and they only have a certain variety of products that are available to you as a lender. And as a mortgage broker, which I am a mortgage broker with Edge Home Finance, we have quite a few different options to price out and compare. Simply put, I can shop around different companies, making sure that my clients are getting the most competitive interest rate, but in the same hand, also getting a great experience. The mortgage process is super complicated, so you also want to make sure that the wholesalers that you're working with also have a very good process in place and just make for an outstanding client experience. But also being able to provide them with very competitive interest rates, being able to just shop that around as a broker. And then also on the non-QM side of things, there's a variety of, you know, mortgage wholesalers that we have options for non-traditional financing, and it just allows us to be a little bit more creative.
I love it. And it gives everyone that is your client, it gives them so many more options than just trying to fit that square peg in a round hole. Like you said, if I only have a certain number of programs because I'm working for a certain lender, then that limits you and how you can serve the client. So you might be hearing what a client needs and it might trigger you to remember, you know what, here's this wholesaler that we worked with on this a deal similar. Let's go ahead and looked at that direction. And it just gives you that flexibility. And I think that a lot of times people don't realize that. They think, oh, well, I saw that commercial, or I'm going down to my bank. And nothing wrong with the bank lenders, but I just wanted to shine the spotlight on the fact that as a broker, you are able to bring a lot more flexibility to your clients.
Absolutely. And I think that just adds value. It's just going to create value for your business, and it's going to create value for your client. And being able to just be a little bit more creative or perhaps put somebody in a better situation, it just goes a long ways.
100%. Well, what are you seeing in the market here moving forward? Is this, are we going to see, you know, some of the things heating back up? And it doesn't matter what the rates are today, because they're going to change, you know, throughout quarter by quarter. But what are you seeing as far as what you're advising your clients in the real estate market these days?
Yeah, right now it's a little bit of a buyer's market. As I mentioned before, I don't think that's going to last too much longer. I'm starting to see pockets in Colorado that are just a little bit unique and different, where it's not so much of a buyer's market, and maybe homes in that certain community actually have been getting multiple offers. And so it's been a very interesting market so far this year and early spring. And I think that we're going to probably move into a little bit more of a balanced market as, you know, spring season starts to ramp up. We're going to have higher buyer demand. We're probably pretty still low on inventory. We're going to be low on inventory, I think, throughout the year. And so that's going to create a space where, you know, buyers aren't going to have as much leverage as they, you know, as they have right now. And so I think preparation is super important, that getting ahead of the curve, making sure that they're working with local individuals that know their market extremely well, and also working with mortgage lenders that have relationships in that market, so that they're connecting people with the right folks and giving the best advantage that they can. It's a definitely a unique market right now, and starting to see things shift a little bit as we go into the spring season.
Well, it's like they say, the only thing constant is change. So, you know, we experience the market doing one thing, and a few months later, it shifts a little bit. You just kind of got to roll with it. But it all boils back down to getting with a lender that knows the market, knows the processes, and can give some great advice. So, Nick, thank you so much for coming on today. If someone's listening and would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way they can reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. My cell phone is 612-280-3310, or I can be reached by email, and that is nick.jimerson@edgehomefinance.com. You know, text or call is always perfect, and email works great as well.
Excellent. Well, Nick, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Colorado Real Estate Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Trailstone Insurance Group. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.coloradorealestateleaders.com.